Okay, so this presentation is actually crafted with probably a larger organization and a more formal presentation. So I'm going to try and move through it maybe a little more quickly than I would so that we can then open it up to more interactive questions. But it still will be about 10 or so minutes that I'm going to go through and sort of show you the genesis of our idea and how we got to where we are today. We call this, you know, Web 2.0 is a big term in the internet. We call this Civics 2.0. And we actually have a debate whether or not this is really 2.0 or could it be 4.0 or, but 2.0 at least gets the idea across that we think that new technologies, as they intersect with human governance, has the ability to sort of shift the way we do things, essentially. And I must say, you know, we sit in Seattle. It's not known for its historical ponderings about the founding of this nation. It's nice to be here and giving this presentation in this geography. So it's the perfect environment, I think, for us. So most of you are familiar with the Constitutional Convention that happened in 1787, where a group of men came together and did essentially what we're trying to do with More Perfect. That was, they wanted to craft a government. They tried to do so collaboratively. As some of you know the history, it worked well in some areas and more difficult in other areas. But the one thing that they really didn't do at that time was include a diverse set of opinions, a diverse set of viewpoints in the crafting of the original documents of our country. And even though what they did is still fully admirable, we think there's room to move forward and to further engage the population of not only this country but of the world in collaborative ways in creating the laws and policies that govern our lives. But this time around, we like to say, there are no funny wigs required, so you get off on having to do that. So imagine an entirely new approach to democracy where we take the opinions of anybody who wants to participate, and we find ways and tools to let them participate in the process, even though they may not be an elected official, they may not have a law degree, they may have very little spare time. I think the title of Saving the World in Your Spare Time is very apt to the way that people are starting to organize themselves in this country. Essentially, we take the notion that everybody, no matter who they are, has a good idea. I really like James Surowiecki's book, The Wisdom of Crowds, where he makes that point that, you know, experts are certainly important in any given field, but sometimes, you know, the plumber outside of the world of politics may have a perfect idea on something unrelated, because our lives are really multifaceted now, and none of us specialize in one thing only, that we spend a lot of time looking at a lot of different things. So as we look at the creation of laws, the laws that get passed in this country, we are talking to Mary too, internationally as well, oftentimes what happens is these laws and policy decisions are made behind closed doors, away from the public view, and then are presented to us in these sort of nice, neat packages with bows on them saying, here it is, you either like it or you don't like it. And that process has sort of trained us to think that we can't be involved in law and policy creation on those levels. We're not used to doing it. We're used to giving our opinion about policy issues, but we're not used to actually getting into the language of the laws. I mean, I think Michael Moore, I think, made this joke in one of his films, how nobody reads the legislation anymore. And I think that's a travesty, actually, that citizens don't feel that they can, you know, that it's not accessible to them. By opening this door, by using technologies to bring more and more people into the process, we believe that we can do two things. One, we can engage the citizenry in a way that they heretofore haven't been, but we can also educate the policymakers and bring these two sides of this process together in a way that's really interesting. So the results of this are essentially that if we can get more people with more ideas together, we'll have a more perfect union. And so how do we do that? Most of you are familiar with wiki technology, which has been made popular by Wikipedia. It's a very powerful tool for collaboration. We chose the platform, the same platform that Wikipedia operates on. It's called MediaWiki. We chose that for the specific purpose up front, that for early adopters, it tends to be a familiar interface. Many people are familiar with the tools at Wikipedia. And so we use the same technology that they do, the same editing software. It looks the same. So if you've used that site, you can use our site. So we say, more perfect, though using the same technology, the application of what we do with More Perfect is different than what Wikipedia does. They're trying to build an encyclopedia. We're trying to do policy and law creation. And a lot of people remember, and we'll get into this more later, but a lot of people remember and are constantly aware of some of the problems that Wikipedia has engaged or found when it's tried to do politics or some of their political articles, endless edit wars, etc. We have a lot of opinions as to why what we're doing is fundamentally different than what Wikipedia is doing and why we avoid some of those same problems through the process that we've created. So now I'm going to go back to a time before this technology existed, or at least existed in any way that the average people were able to use it. In my day job, in my real life prior to all of this, I am a political consultant. I run campaigns. I do consulting in Washington State. And in the mid-90s, my brother, who's a doctor, he's a primary caregiver for about 4,000 AIDS patients in Seattle, was out front on the medical marijuana issue. He actually, when California passed their law, President Clinton threatened to jail any doctors who participated in the new law. And my brother wrote an op-ed piece that got picked up nationally. And George Soros saw that and called and said he would be willing to fund us if we wanted to run an effort in Washington State. So I was doing strategic communications work, and he brought me on to manage the campaign. And we are very green about politics, but we thought, you know, it's Washington State. Of course people are going to support the issue. So right out of the gate, in 97, we ran the first initiative. And what we did is we took our language model out of Arizona, which had passed this initiative the year previous to this. And we thought, it worked in Arizona. You know, it passed by a significant margin there. It must be good language. We grabbed it almost wholesale, made a few minor changes, filed an initiative, collected signatures, spent $1.5 million, and lost badly, 40 to 60%. In a state that, you know, by any measure should have won this easily. And in our quick education into politics, what we learned was we just had the wrong language for our state. That Arizona, their population is different than Washington State, that they view these differently, they have a different history. And so that we learned really quickly that the language fundamentally matters in political activities. And in hindsight, we wasted $1.5 million and a lot of effort and energy across the state in running a measure that we hadn't really vetted per our population. By doing it the way we did, we had opposition from traditional groups outside of who you would, you know, for example, the police chiefs organization opposed us, or there's various politicians who stood up and loudly opposed us and made, you know, a lot of arguments against what we are doing. But in addition to natural opponents, we also had opposition from within, because we were sort of relative newcomers to this world of the drug reform movement in the state. And there was a group of people who had been working on this issue ever since Normal had been founded in the early 70s. And, you know, and they felt a little bit disenfranchised because we came in with a lot of money and sort of these new ideas and ran a campaign, and we didn't really have the time to include a lot of people. So the end result was we had sort of opposition coming from both sides, and it was a chaotic campaign. But we learned our lesson. So on the morning after that defeat, we sat down and said, we know this can win in this state. We went back to our funders and we told them, we would like to try it again if you'll stick with us and support us. So the first thing we did was we came up with a very rough draft of how we thought the language should be presented the second time around. But instead of just keeping it to ourselves, we started sending that language out to other people. We sent it out to our supporters, of course, but more importantly, we actually sent our draft language out to all those groups who had opposed us in the previous effort. And to our delight, they actually took that seriously, and we asked them, what do you hate about this? If you knew this were going to be law, what changes would need to occur for you to be able to come on board and support it? Well, not many of them actually became supporters, but they did give us a lot of feedback. So, for example, again, the police chiefs organization said, you know, we really need some protections for our police when they're on the street. How do they make, you know, they need some clear guidance as to how to distinguish a medical user from a recreational user. And they came up with several suggestions that were really helpful. So in the end, we have this whole stack of comments and guidance on how to change the language, how to improve it, so that we could build a broader coalition going into the new campaign.
the net result was, you know, 1 year later, we turned that around and we won 60-40. And largely those groups who had opposed us in the previous year didn't oppose us the second year. The environment was completely changed just based on using collaborative tools. At that point, Microsoft Word was our collaborative tool and tracking changes and editing, you know. But doing that, we felt created a more robust, better policy initiative that we could take to the voters. We sort of just covered this. Why did it work? And it was exactly for that, for using collaborative tools. So just going forward. So,
but you missed the point about the fact that you turned it around in 12 months.
Yep.
And won 60-40.
Correct. So this idea had stuck with me for the last 10 years as I've been more and more engaged in creating websites, and I became a user at Wikipedia, and all the time in the back of my head, I would get called in to consult on new initiatives, and invariably I'd ask them, where's the language, who wrote it, who's seen it? It was always, well, three or four of us who've been working on this issue got together, and we drafted it, and we took our $5, and we went to the Secretary of State's office, and we filed a new initiative, and now we want to run the politics of it. And I would always tell them, well, the politics began clear back when you first put pen to paper. And over and over and over again, this is still happening. Very few people do what we did. You know, we were new to politics, but I've since found out that it's just not common, you know, even amongst our legislature. You know, they draft their proposed bills in their caucus rooms behind closed doors, and then they foist it upon the other party or whatever. And then there's this big fight, and there's rarely a time before that can happen for people to collaborate. So my experience of this exists outside of the technology world, and I've recognized long that technology will never get rid of the need to combine new technologies with old shoe leather and the old way of doing politics. So this is where we think, for example, that using a wiki in a political space differs significantly from what Wikipedia does. We still think that there has to be certain face-to-face components. There has to be a level of, even if it's light, guidance to how the process can work. And again, that's sort of evidenced by some of the current efforts and the previous efforts to do politics in a wiki space.
Yeah, it's not just enough to throw this technology over the wall. It's an enabler, but you still have to go out there.
What are some of the previous?
Well, again, we hear of different groups who have tried to do it on their own institutional level, and then again, I always reference back to, because people immediately think of Wikipedia and John Kerry's article, for example, that turned into a big edit war during that last campaign, or George Bush's page. People sort of, even though I think we're different, and we'll get into this in sort of question answer, people think of Wikipedia as a political effort that has failed. Relative to politics, so even though I feel differently. But beyond this, and I bring this up just because we're talking technology here, but again, because of our experience in real-world politics and policy creation, we really want to turn More Perfect into something more than just wiki on a website. Our intent is to essentially build a user community who then also comes together in face-to-face conferences and confabs and is able, through that medium, to talk about policy issues, to sort of cross-pollinate with other groups who are working on different issues, and create, you know, whether it's through meetups or specific conferences that we put together, we think that it will always be important to keep face-to-face components to whatever we're doing here.
Yeah, and one of the things that we're actually planning to do is a nationwide whistle-stop tour. We're actually, you know, get out in the RV, you know, drive town to town, bring this stuff out and get, you know, get on the radio, get in front of people, get out in the malls and actually work this. And it's, I mean, we're actually prepared to put, you know, a year plus long effort and then, you know, follow-ups onto that. But I mean, it's not just the technology. I mean, we're a lot of technologists, but it's not just enough to do that.
So briefly, we've talked somewhat of our experience. Chad and I have more than 25 years combined experience. Chad has a stronger experience working in the technology world. Let me just show you. These are some of the projects we've worked on, various campaigns, businesses that we've worked with, etc. And when we came together, it was a real coming together of both practical experience and technical experience.
Can you go back one slide because your names are spelled there?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Great. And I'll just give an intro in terms of where I come at this from. So I worked at Real Networks and Microsoft for 10 plus years. A lot of background in technology, you know, because on the software side, I've been using actually Wiki for quite some time. But I was also, a big transit advocate in Seattle, and there was a project there called the Monorail, and I would moderate these online groups. And for me, it became very frustrating, right? I mean, with an online forum, someone has a great idea, and we've talked about this. Everyone has a great idea. The problem with some of the mediums that are out there, such as an online forum, someone has that great idea, the next thread starts up, everyone starts kind of foaming at the mouth about something like that, and then that great idea scrolls away. So I'm sitting here, Tim and I have known each other for a number of years, but separately, we've actually, I'm sitting there with these frustrations, and I'm looking for a new medium, and we start talking about this on the Wiki side and how we can go make this work, and it's just perfect, because that great idea can continue to exist on a Wiki site or on a Wiki page while people continue to improve and better it, right?
And just briefly, I'm going to just lay these out, and then we're going to open it up for discussion. But More Perfect's mission is to enable more direct public involvement in the creation of laws and public policy. We are committed to creating tools and services that empower citizens to form a more perfect union while educating policymakers about innovative ways to involve a wider, more diverse audience in their efforts to shape the public agenda. And I'm going to just go over this. I'm going to just show you some of these. These are some banner ads that we've created that I think sort of tell the story of where we see this going, because I think our passion is to not just talk to technology people, but to talk to just average citizens. And this sort of, this is how we'd like to see the site used, essentially. And increasingly, I think we see ourselves this way, right? We're all participating on forums, and we're now, for the first time in a long time, talking politics in what used to be the public square, but is now these places. But we do it in between all of our other work and all of our other lives that we've built around ourselves. And I really get energized by this idea, because I know these people in my neighborhood who may not have a job. They look at the work I do in politics, and I'm always trying to get people more involved. But they, that's not their chosen career, but doesn't mean that they have any less interest in the laws that govern our country. And this, we're trying to provide tools that allow them to remain involved. So that's essentially it. I did want to just show you a bit of the site, and we'll do this briefly, and then we'll open up for questions. For those of you familiar with Wikipedia, it's essentially, again, the same software, the same format. You have the edit page. Let me show you an example just quickly.
Let's talk about the Constitution.
Okay, yeah. One thing we learned really quickly, and again, we launched this in July of 06, just last year, and I was in the middle of another campaign, too, that I ran that was for this November. So we haven't had a lot of time to focus exclusively on this, but what we have learned and what we have been doing is, one, we've learned that we need to, it's a new concept for people. They're not familiar with editing laws, and they're not, the confluence of that and, the Wiki technology. We've determined that we have to come up with some simple examples that resonate with them. So one is, we put the U.S. Constitution up here in the Bill of Rights, and we've said, come in and try your hand at being one of the founding fathers. See if you can improve upon what they've done. The other thing we're doing is some really simple things, like, for example, defining government priorities. So for in each state, we've listed a page that says, tell us what the top 10 priorities of government should be for your state. And it's just a simple bulleted list of points, education, transportation. And we're letting people sort of engage on that level where they can just simply rearrange or add and take away different priorities. So we're trying to come up with some really simple policy stuff off the front just to sort of habituate people to the idea of how a Wiki works, how to interact with other people in this process.
Yeah, in fact, those have been the most successful to date. I mean, just the simplicity involved in those people are actually getting involved. It's about the notion of getting them used to the technology. And just, I mean, it's counterintuitive, the notion that you can actually go change something and getting people used to that notion.
So the next...
I'm sorry. This takes you down a path. I'll just stifle. It also... because in the case, say, of the Bill of Rights, you are you can't do the thing that's one of the things that is distinctive about your approach to the wiki as opposed to Wikipedia is
right.
Mainly, if you're editing the Second Amendment and you are totally against gun control, you are nevertheless constrained in this example
sure.
to come up with something that will meet the needs of people who are pro-gun control, whereas
right.
in an actual bill that you were working on, you
right.
would fork it.
Exactly. And it's a great example for, you know, what we, you know, whether you want to discuss
yep.
that now.
Yep.
So let's launch into that. And this is where I see the primary distinction between what we do and what Wikipedia does. So Wikipedia, what is it? It's an encyclopedia. So encyclopedias, you have, for example, John Kerry has a single article. There's the John Kerry article. And so people get constrained because, you know, there's two viewpoints on what his positions may be, and there's all this fighting back and forth. And Wikipedia has this ethic called neutral point of view. It's NPOV that they try and inculcate throughout their users, which basically says if you're going to write on this article, you know, you need to try and take this neutral point of view in your language and the information that you present. Well, we're not an encyclopedia. We're a political site. We don't say that you need to be neutral in your point of view. We want you to bring your points of view to the table. But whereas they can only have a single article per given topic, we're able to do multiple pages for a given policy issue. So, again, and we do have voters' guides, and we can talk about those later. So if we have a John Kerry voters' guide, we'll have a pro-John Kerry and an opposed-to-John Kerry page that becomes sort of a relief valve for that steam that can arise. But we've developed a corollary policy to NPOV that we call constructive, not destructive. And we say, policy X is up here, and, oh, we went to sleep. So if policy X is up here, and we're asking, if you're going to participate on the creation of policy X, we ask that you only are constructive in your additions and edits to that page. Even if you disagree with it, you still may have constructive ways to improve the general idea that policy X is trying to go for. But if you just fundamentally disagree with it, then we ask you to start the policy Y page. Start your own page that, you know, has your idea so that all of your involvement on the site can remain constructive. We do provide some outlet for you to, you know, we have what's called the flip side page to any given policy. If you just fundamentally disagree with it and want to express why, we provide a place for you to do that. And through these tools and this sort of policy that we're setting out, we think we've answered essentially a lot of the reasons that people get into edit wars. You know, when they feel constrained that they have to work on a singular document or a singular opinion, then that leads to fights. Now, as this matures, for example, I'll give you one. We have in Seattle, there's two, as probably in every community, there's a leading conservative blog and a leading progressive blog. And the two are often fighting back and forth. We've actually sat down with both of them, and we're in the midst of working out this thing where we're going to put up a joint page where we have the conservative blog and the progressive blog both working on their visions of priority of government. That'll be step one. So in step one, we're going to have them do that from their different visions. And I think it'll be interesting to see how they develop in these different silos. But then we're going to ask them to try and merge those. And it'll be an interesting experiment. So I'll let you know when we do it, and you can watch the fireworks as they occur.
We've also got a great example here with the, and that's the people. Oh, sorry.
How do you end up with just, how do you prevent having 15,000 for John Kerry pages or against John Kerry?
Well, first of all, I don't need to prevent it because what I think will happen is people will create those pages, but there'll only be a few pages that have, you know, a certain credibility, right? I mean, so let's do jump to this example because, how we envision this site growing is not, I mean, we want individuals to find the site and start using it, but we're also starting to go out and find groups who have policy needs or who are already in the process of creating policy and who could use our site and then essentially bring in a user base. It's throwing me off here, the way the screen has shifted. There, okay. So, for example, in Seattle, the hottest political issue in Seattle right now is around what's called the Alaskan Way Viaduct, which is an elevated highway that runs right along our waterfront. If you've been to Seattle, if you look at it from the water view, there's a highway, a multi-level highway that sits there right off our waterfront in front of the buildings. A recent earthquake damaged the structure. The consensus is that it has to come down. So there's this huge political fight about what to do. And I mean, it's almost the perfect storm of politics in Seattle right now, because there's no clear-cut winner. But one of the groups who's involved in the debate is this group called the People's Waterfront Coalition. And they came to us, and what we've done for them is we've created a page in which they're able to lay out their vision for what their proposal is. So they give some background on it. And then we put up a page of their specific proposal, and they invited the public to come in and edit their actual proposal to say, do we have that link?
Here. Public input on transit plus streets. Their proposition is to take down the viaduct and replace it with transit and improve streets, right? It's very similar to the Embarcadero that's in San Francisco, where they've taken it down, put in streets, and they've got a streetcar there.
So here's an example of a policy.
Tunnels.
What's that?
Build lots of tunnels.
Well, there's, believe me.
So that's the other side of it, right? And it's, in fact, you've got...
Listen, the Big Dig is referenced almost daily in the Seattle media right now. So this is an example of how we're laying out policy issues. So, for example, first we ask people to define the problem, and people work together on that. Define the goals, you know, what is it we want to achieve, and people can work together on that. And then what's the action piece? How do you solve the issue? And so this group actually invited people to come in, and, you know, they had a set policy proposal, but invited people to come in and actually interact on the specific policy. And it's been an interesting, you know, it's a little bit different again, because this thing is, they're right in the thick of, I mean, we're right in the heart of the hottest debate right now. But again, I can't see that edge.
I mean, I think the big, this is a perfect example of what we would describe as a fairly divisive issue. And this is a case where people are constructively engaging on this page, right? They're actually putting in suggestions. They're saying, listen, you're not communicating this either as a supporter or as an opponent. You're not communicating this in the way that makes sense to me. So they can actually go in there and improve this, presumably. And the notion here is that the goal is to improve and provide them with the best proposal that they can. They may not succeed, right? Transit in the streets may not succeed at the end of the day, because it may not be compelling enough to the public. But at the end of the day, we should be able to stand up and say that they've got the best proposition or best, you know, description of what they want to go do and the best solution to the way they go approach that.
So as you can see, though, back on this on the topic page, there's all these different options, right? There's the tunnel approach, which is supported by our mayor, but is dying. You know, dying quickly. No one supports it anymore. So, you know, but that's, you know, we're able to, if people just disagree with this, then there's these other options that they can quickly click on and look to the proposal that they support. So,
Ethan has a quick question.
Great. I mean, that's essentially my presentation. So let's just jump into.
I'm not sure it's a quick question. I hope it's not a quick question, but I'll try to say it quickly. I'm looking a little bit at some of the discussions that you guys have hosted now, and obviously they're sort of demo discussions to a
Correct.
Certain extent. But what becomes pretty quick, apparent pretty quickly, is how difficult Wiki is as a medium for this.
Sure.
So, for instance, take a look at the discussion on the Bill of Rights. First of all, the Bill of Rights is a single page, which is pretty awkward because, for instance, I've got no beef with the First Amendment, but I've got some arguments on the Second. But for instance, I can only get the history of changes to the whole Bill of Rights.
Correct.
So first of all, seems like you should probably be having different discussions on different pieces of it. Second of all, if we're going to debate the Bill of Rights, it's probably really useful to look at the current Bill of Rights versus the sort of standing Bill of Rights here. So it'd be nice to have that be sort of there and unalterable
and
see what the changes.
In the discussion is like where's the original? Can we get a copy of the original? And in fact,
so,
actually,
right here.
And in fact, I found myself sort of going back and forth between an original to sort of look at how the language had come out there. Third of all, within that debate on the Bill of Rights, you have a fun debate basically going on, simply saying, if you don't discuss it here first, I'm not going to accept your change, and I'm simply getting rid of it, you know, as a rule, which may well be a good thing to do, but isn't governed within the current Wiki software. And I guess what I would say is that you know, Wiki is, you know, the worst solution you could come up to with this problem other than every other solution that's been come up with. You know, much as people say that democracy is the worst possible government that you could put forward other than everyone that everyone else has ever proposed. And I guess I find myself pretty quickly sort of looking at this and saying, guys, come on, surely we can do better. To what extent are you guys committed to the MediaWiki software? To what extent are you experimenting with software development around it?
You know, we had a long conversation with Mitch Kapoor actually on the phone about this very topic. And one thing we've just, I mean, we're not wedded to MediaWiki per se. I mean, we're fortunate to live in an environment in technology now where there's lots of tools and it's easy to sort of to move around. I mean, right now we use MediaWiki to get up on board, but I would say that if we find that, you know, is it Google bought JotSpot recently? You know, I mean, there's other tools that may end up being a more user-friendly environment, may have a richer feature set. So, again, there's a reason why we have the beta tag on the very top of our page.
Yeah.
It's because we still feel like, you know, some of this stuff, again, it's a new thing to do this kind of work on a wiki space, and we're trying to be open to take this I think it's probably understandable why we use MediaWiki to begin with, just because it's an open source project.
Yep.
It's habituated, people are used to it, right? But that may not hold true, or it may. You know, it may be that the developer community really coalesces. It may be that Jimmy Wales' new Wikia project really, again, focuses a lot more development. So,
but it's also possible that what you guys need is to sort of take that base product and sort of based on observing the behavior of your own community, that you guys might end up sort of rolling your own thing, which makes sense specifically for
Let me grab that. So my background, software development, 20 years. I've done waterfall for years at places like Accenture, Anderson, Microsoft, right? I mean, the key here is iterative development, right? I mean, get something in front of your users, get them working with it, find out what the problems are, find those problems early, and move on. So as Tim was describing, definitely not wedded to either MediaWiki, but also certainly this solution, right? I mean, one of the things that, for example, is that we should set up a template that just simply has the first Amendment in it and allow that as be the reference material. So we put the site up in July. We kind of got into campaign mode. While Tim's been on campaign mode, I've been working on kind of the design side and what we want to do to take the site to the next level. And that's exactly where, one of the biggest reasons we want to be in front of this audience is so that we can get that kind of feedback. Because, I mean, Ethan, you're dead on. I mean, this has to be taken to the next level. It's not just going to work just this way.
You know, in fact, you remember on that own policy page we showed the problems, goals. You know, that was a solution that we came up fairly quickly because we realized that we needed a way to break it out into smaller chunks to make documents that weren't so large and unapproachable. So
yeah, literally those tabs, right? I mean, you couldn't even have problem action or problem goals action and reference by just simply on one page. It just gets too much.
Right.
So I mean, there's a case where we actually built those capabilities and provided those tabs. Got a question right here.
So just I have a comment to follow up on Ethan's question and a separate question. Just I did notice that structure was built in there, and it seems to me like there is that you could go in that direction.
Right.
I don't know if you've heard of the Public Conversations Project here, just outside of Boston, but they have a new experiment now called Red Blue. I think it's redblue.org, and it takes their methodology of public dialogue and encodes it so that it walks people on opposite sides of an issue through a process of discussing with each other. And so it seems like adopting some kind of codification of good practices in terms of how you mediate disagreements would seem like, and it looks like you're taking steps towards that, so that's really exciting.
Yeah.
So that might be something to check out. I guess my question is related to the story you had in the beginning about the medical marijuana. You could look at it in terms of helping to craft a better policy in terms of the wording and all of that. But looking at it as an organizer, what I heard was instead, it sounded more like the story there was about bringing together the right groups and the right people. And what I'm curious about is how you're doing that with this process of especially as you're opening it to the public. And you know, it sounds like you're partnering with groups that are advocating for one side of the issue. And can you describe how you bring in the other groups that are the opponents? Or is your purpose instead to partner with an advocacy group and have them bring in the public? I'm not sure which one is.
Well, I think it can go always. I mean, so for one example is we're in conversations with the Washington State Democratic Caucus for the state legislature. And what we're talking, they see sort of two sides of how they've talked about wanting to use this. One would be just in their closed sessions amongst their caucus discussing what their public or what their legislative agenda will be for an upcoming session. And so that would be a closed application that we're still trying to get our head around whether or not we want to do that. We probably will. But then the second side to that would be to have them just present sort of a precursor to what that discussion for them would be and open it to the public so that the public can say, look, you know, they could say, this is our proposed agenda for the upcoming year. What do you think of that? You know, and let the public come in and start putting an agenda together. Now, what we say is that this is not meant to be the final decision that they make. They don't have to take exactly what the public comes up with. But what we hope happens is that they start to see maybe some trends emerge or some ideas that they hadn't considered, or you know, they might learn that you know, this idea is much more important than that idea because we're getting a lot more traffic. It's just another tool. I mean, in campaigns, I'll spend $40,000 to put focus groups together of 40 people. You know, it's that expensive to do that, to get the feedback. And I look at this as a tool that says, you know, if I could potentially drive 4,000 people to a page, that's giving you, again, just another metric. It's not perfect. It doesn't mean that this is exactly representative, but I think it's easier to see how this is at least a huge step forward in opening the process to a wider audience. And all Wiki is a technology to help manage that process in a way that you know, we can get our head around at this point. Is it perfect? I expect there to be a more perfect 3.0 at some point, you know. But when I earlier said we don't think you can just throw the technology up there and be successful at this, we really mean that we think that, you know, politics more than just about any other sort of Wiki application is going to require some hard thinking about how to get this all to work together. So,
yeah, I mean, if you look at the public initiative process, right, in Washington State, for example, 80% of all public initiatives fail, and it's precisely the reason Tim described, right? Three people in the back room, they come up with it, they rush down to the state secretary's office, they post it, they pay their $50, and then here it is, folks, and here's what, let's go run the campaign on that. And the absolute worst time to run a campaign, educate the public on an issue is during a campaign. Here's an opportunity, even barring the input, I mean, there's just an outright public education opportunity here as well, where it's just like, here's where we want to go do some real-time outreach. We want to get that feedback. I mean, there's two keys to what we say about More Perfect. More Perfect is just a tool. I mean, we're not intending it more than that. And it's also it's certainly non-binding, just as Tim described. Like, here's what we got the feedback, and here's what we want to go do.
Go ahead, Luke.
One of the things about these 18th century pamphlets, which I'm thinking of as I'm looking at this, there was a sort of protocol of self-erasure in the publication. That is to say, people would either not sign their pamphlet or publish it under pseudonym. And then also there was a sort of rhetorical posture of presenting yourself as not your individual, you know, I speak as a non,
right,
from an impartial view. To the degree that people got personal reputations, it would come from the readers. Finally, Tom Paine's Common Sense is a good example. It was published anonymously. He does all these things sort of erasing himself. Eventually, people figure out who it is. And I'm interested in this as sort of the connection between kinds of identity and the way we handle information would be a broader way of saying this. So in this system, do people... Are people working anonymously, and do reputations emerge?
Wikipedia, for example, allows anonymous posting. We've chosen not to do that. That doesn't mean that you can't create a pseudonym or an avatar, essentially. All we require is a valid email address and a zip. Do we require the zip
code?
Yeah,
we actually capture zip code because we want to actually extend that and we can get new.
But again, you know, because we have a very small user base still, you know, I'm waiting to see how that emerges. But I know on Wikipedia that your credibility becomes a really important tool when you're working on edits on a page. I expect the same to be true here, that, you know, if you want your edits to stick, if, you know, you're going to create a certain level of credibility around what you do on the site. And, you know, I think that's, and that's especially in a political application, it's why we've chosen not to allow just strictly anonymous postings.
Right. But these could be pseudonymous,
exactly.
And then you could begin to build a reputation.
Correct. Absolutely. Whatever your pseudonym is, you know, Big Ledge or something like that. I mean, you could. I mean, if you're credible, I mean, we tell users, I mean, you will probably get more credibility if you do provide, you know, a real name, and that's optional. But at the same time, I mean, absolutely build credibility around your pseudonym. I mean, we recognize that some people are just simply not going to be able to, you know, provide their, you know, their real name.
And just one last iteration of this. So, and how does credibility get marked?
Right. So that's something we don't have, but certainly the notion of ratings or rating users, I mean, increasingly, I mean, and we see that on the social networking side. I mean, what we want to do kind of next, to take this to the next level, is really kind of build in those, what we call kind of civic networking capabilities, where we have users, they you know, they have locales, they also have, you know, ratings around them. So we'll need to work through that, I mean, for sure. I would think that, I mean, and we can go through that, like, how do you build reputation? I mean, is it probably an entire thing we could go through? But that's one of the things we're thinking.
I wanted to bring up two, I don't know if I call them factors, but I'll leave it at that. So I think, you know, oftentimes there's a small percentage of people who contribute a lot. And then there's also a great percentage of people who are kind of like drive-by contributors. You know, you see it, you make a comment, you hear about it, you go and check it out. And I think that the second is that this site, what you're aiming at, its laws and policies, they're very much timely issues. They're things that are being externally reinforced. They're in the media. And so I think that, excuse me, that I almost wonder if by centralizing things in a place like more perfect, you might limit the tool's potential, instead of allowing people to replicate it and use it to connect it to other sources.
Yeah, like, so such as, I mean, would you use an example such as news feeds or something like that? I mean,
I'm sorry, I have a...
That's okay. I think there's upsides to the centralization, and it would be this. For example, when I work in the drug reform movement, which I do in Washington State, and I'm well, ever since my foray into medical marijuana and, you know, having, and I don't even smoke pot, but but what happens all the time, we have all these conferences and I inhale. But we have, you know, we have these conferences all the time that bring together all the people who are thinking about drug reform and blah, blah, blah. We're speaking to the choir all the time. So remember when I talked about this idea of having these conferences and confabs and bringing people together in the real time? One of the things I'm really interested about is having a conference in which there's maybe three big issues that may be diametrically opposed, but all these same people are coming into this conference center and are able to, you know, I mean, and drug reform is a really interesting issue because it really has support on sort of both sides of the aisle. You know, and maybe you came here for an education policy initiative, but you're now going to cross out, you know, at 2:30, hey, they're talking about drug reform. And I would never have gone to a drug reform conference in my life, but, you know, I'm here and I have some time, so maybe I'll wander in. And I see the same thing happening online here, is that there's the potential to, you know, sure, organizations could grab MediaWiki today and set up their own wiki discussion on any given policy. But I think what they lack then is that cross-pollination, right? If we have a site that potentially could bring in a large user base who would cross-pollinate to different issues, then I think that helps sort of the robustness of those policy discussions, as opposed to keeping it in a narrow speaking to the choir setting.
I mean, you can if you implement it such that you can't cross over, you can never link back to More Perfect, you can never move from place to place. I don't think you have to set it up that way technically. I think what I was suggesting is that, if I sketch a little bit more, that I think when I look at More Perfect, although the functionality of the site is clear to me, the community isn't. And the second thing is that I think a lot of people who are likely to use it are likely to use it because they're motivated by a very specific thing. And they might not return again until there's another issue on the ballot, which might be 10 minutes down the road, 2 years down the road, even though they might go and check out a few other things in the site.
Right.
And I think the cost of getting people to More Perfect and getting them into the system could be a little bit higher when it's a centralized source. So if you're trying to immediately cross-pollinate and get many people using it, if it's able for people to almost make it, like replicate it, still connect it back, it could be.
Yeah, actually one of the ideas we've discussed and is building a button, I mean, essentially letting you come in and build your own brand, like your own wing to More Perfect, yes. That would be branded with your organization.
Right.
For example, we're talking to the Seattle City Council about doing this, mm-hmm. creating a place within the site that the Seattle City Council, it's their homepage within the system.
I think that would be a really good idea because yeah. I think people want to have their own space, and it also lends, I think sometimes individuals and organizations are hesitant to, I guess, outsource things to what they might see as a commercial effort, and if they know that they have authority over that space, they can always link to it. They could build things off of it.
Right.
I think it gives them.
Yeah, in fact,
more
we want to sit there and just say, listen, City Council, yeah, here's your space, so to speak, on More Perfect. I mean, and that's exactly the idea. I mean, and that's where we need to, you know. Tim was saying it's you know, getting out the shoe leather and start working with those folks. And also, I mean, the person who doesn't come back in 2 years, I think that's absolutely, I mean, that is going to be the case, right? Some people are just like, they're going to have their great ideas, they'll drop it by, and then they can move on. I think one of the things we can do is actually build up some of the kind of the civic networking capabilities where people do continue to come back, and not just about the issue they care about. Things like, you know, news, hooking up in groups. I mean, obviously, I mean, Yahoo groups, Google groups, those things exist. I mean, you can follow that model as well and get people kind of working on it. In fact, I mean, something that we saw yesterday at Berkman was the Front Porch Forum, which I personally think is just a great notion. So put it out there, right? Front Porch Forum plus More Perfect, I think you get there. So, I mean, those are the types of things that we're already thinking of. And that's why, for example, I find that project very, very attractive. And it's something we've already been thinking about this, like you say, this fall. And then you were saying community and kind of like issue and news driven. There absolutely needs to be the ability, I believe, at some point to either bring in news feeds and also have people even post their own news, because you get some filtering. I mean, I'm sure some filtering folks can talk to us about that. But, I mean, you know, there's a lot of news out there, but not all of it really means a lot to folks. And if they can actually post a news thing, you know, there's a local effort in Seattle, which is NewsCloud, which is a great little kind of like open source news. And we're just saying we're open source civics, and we want to bring those kinds of things in. I think you were next. Okay, great.
Yes, I want to know how do you get people to know your page? I mean, besides these little groups that you're going to talk to, I mean, how do you get like the public in general to be interested?
So, I mean, clearly, we're writing a grant proposals right now to try and get funding. And Chad mentioned one of the ideas that we're floating out there is this idea of doing a whistle stop, where we actually get in an RV and go town to town and set up laptops and start teaching people how to use these tools and integrating with them. What marketing initiatives we take, we haven't been fully decided, but we're in the process of funding that. But in the meantime, the groups are a really big thing for me, finding groups who have pre-existing policy needs, who have a pre-existing membership base, who could start using it. Because really, I think this site will actually be sort of important to grow small, step by step, because there's going to be a lot of questions raised about how to use it. And, you know, I'd like to figure that out as, you know, with a smaller user base than a bigger user base. But I mean, the software scales pretty easily, but it's got limitations. So, for example, like a lot of this group stuff isn't included in MediaWiki. We have to develop it separately from that. So,
first, I just wanted to express appreciation for what you're doing. I love the idea, and I can already think of so many situations in the work that I was doing in that area where something like this would have been a great tool.
Right.
And,
great.
And because I love the idea, I'd like More Perfect to be More Perfect. So I have three questions. And I see these as a design question and a political question and a socioeconomic question. But I'm not sure how to distinguish. I think they're interrelated. So just starting with the political question, in terms of political effectiveness, I'm wondering how you're thinking about
explicitly making links to policymakers or building the relationships with them and including them in the discussions. So that's one question. The next, in terms of design, is, you know, along with the earlier question about representation, I'm thinking about the communities that I worked in, and that it would be wonderful to engage more democratic participation, but this is an unlikely medium for a variety of reasons. Whether people don't speak English or don't read and write or aren't comfortable using the technology or don't have access to it easily or just don't have the time. No, I'm wondering about how you're thinking about combining this with other ways. And it's great that you mentioned face-to-face conferences, but in terms of design, I have similar questions about what invites people and what... you know, what truly makes participatory democracy? And I think you can think about the face-to-face conferences and the online in some similar ways. For example, when I moved to Cambridge, a friend who knows the projects I'm working on said you should come to the Bergman Center for Internet and Society. And I was a little hesitant, and I came. And one of the reasons I like coming here is because it's in a house. It's not in a dark pit with a lot of right. machines and no windows, and it's not in a glass and steel building where you look down on everybody. And I think that you know, the location, the environment, whether it's face-to-face or online, really makes a difference. In so many ways, I think we have to exercise imagination, not just for the people who are using it, but the people who aren't and why they're not.
Right.
So I'm wondering if you have opportunities. I know your organization is very small, but... do you have opportunities to partner with other groups who can help you research those issues, you know, in a particular location or in a more, broad-based?
I mean, part of why we're here is because we've been trying to partnership with the Sunlight Foundation, for example, who've been helping us a lot get to that point. Everything you say, I think we probably agree and share all of those values. I mean, we're at a point where the technology of Wiki is relatively new, and I'm the first to concede MediaWiki looks really sort of stark and technical for a lot of users, and it's not my favorite for that reason. And like I said earlier, as that tool emerges and changes, it's part of an open source community. And there's a lot of developers in that community who are really aware that it's not a really user-friendly interface.
It's bringing in a lot more people than right. you can do just in focus groups. And I think, as you say, the next level is to really imagine the potential of engaging other groups.
Right.
And the fact that you're considering a combination of online and offline engagements, I think, is great.
Let me go back to your first question just really quickly. I mean, so how to interface with policymakers. I mean, this is where I think my real-world experience and knowledge... I mean, I know I can call up most of the politicians in the state, and that's been really helpful to be able to get in the door and show them how, you know, these tools might apply and how, you know, this might be a new... One thing I'm quickly learning is that we have to... to be successful, we have to give people sort of a longer view of politics. That, you know, what I think the least successful pages will be those pages that are in the middle of a heated political battle. And one example that I'll throw out now that we're talking about doing is, because I run campaigns, I'm really anxious to run an entire campaign through this system. To not say I'm going to run an initiative this year, but to say, look, I'm going to run an initiative on this issue, and here's my timeline. In year one, I'm going to invite the entire public in to help me draft the language, improve the idea, so that there's broad-based buy-in to what we're doing, so that I'm not creating an initiative on my own. And then in year two, we're actually going to run the campaign. You know, maybe we'll even hold our, you know, the board meetings will be held through a Wiki medium that will be open to all people to participate in. So it's a completely open campaign. And I'm really excited about it because, best I can tell, that's never happened in this country.
Yeah, and Ethan, you've been talking about you guys need to go get some wins and stuff. And I mean, if we can be successful with something like that or death with dignity, these types of things around, you know, personal euthanasia and stuff, I mean, that'll be huge. And I mean, that's our challenge, right? I mean, we recognize that I mean, this is not without challenge. But if we can be successful, I would put forth that this would be great.
I just have one other comment. That is that I think that you're already in what you're doing, there are services or resources that you can bring forward and identify more. I mean, you really can serve as an educational resource in terms of effective political engagement and constructive dialogue, and
right.
you can, you know, make those tools more evident in what you present on your website. And also, in terms of existing public participation processes, you could work with communities to help them before they have those meetings. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was involved in education reform, the real conversation went on in the parking lot for 3 hours after
right.
the yeah. process, where people were raising their hands for an agenda that was already created. Mm-hmm. And that's a waste of everybody's time. That's something that you could offer as a service to communities.
And that's exactly it. So what you just described, also public agencies, I mean, they have to go through, you know, federally mandated environmental impact statements, like if they're doing public works projects. And this is a great thing, exactly. You know, have the public meeting, and then here at More Perfect, you're going to be able to, I mean, you know, when we talk about Sound Transit in Seattle, that's exactly the types of things that they can go out and do, so that they can, so they don't miss that parking lot conversation. That's exactly what we... Absolutely. I mean,
happens.
The conversation doesn't yeah. stop when this meeting ends. We want you to go home and be able to do this. And I mean, that's why, I mean, so Tim had Word is the technology. It's never been, for us, it's not about the technology, it's about the process, right? And we're saying that, you know, here's a tool that we think can work effectively. We'll continue to improve on it and even look at other technologies. But that's what we want to do, is the ability for someone to, I mean, or the person who doesn't even get out to the meeting, right? I mean, that's the biggest thing. I mean, these meetings are consistently held at 6 o'clock, 5:30, when, you know, I've got a 5-year-old daughter, I can't get to those things, right? I mean, people just can't. So we think that's a great, you know, ability to get online, certainly for that. And the more we can simplify it, we can certainly reach out to more and more people, you know, those types of things.
Yep.
Couple things. One is, I love what you're saying, because at one point I was a single mother, and it cut me entirely off from civic life, because you can't take your kid to the meetings and you can't afford to have your kid covered for the meetings. So something like this is a great supplement to civic life, and I think you're saying that, but you have to be careful when you sit there and say that you want to run a campaign that is entirely on this tool, because it will be open, because it will not be open. It will not be open to people who don't deal with type.
Well, I'll say it'd be more open than the way I run campaigns now.
Right. But one of the things that you guys might want to look at is to go back to the folks who are running community networks and civicconnect.org and some of those efforts in the mid-90s, because those groups were doing basically a lot of the stuff that you're trying to do now. We were doing it with forums.
Right.
You know, with sticky
right.
stuff. You know, at the tops of the forums and all this kind of stuff. Some of the stuff that we found was that we needed a, what do you call it, in a parliamentarian
sure.
for any of these discussions. Because
Robert's rules and such.
Well, it's not even so, you know, there's a certain amount of Robert's rules, but you can loosen up a lot of that. But what you do need is you do need for the discussion not to devolve into you can do that constitutionally, or you can't write that paragraph that way, it won't be legal.
Right.
And have somebody sitting there, half the time those comments will be right, and half the time they will be aimed to shut people up. And it's really valuable in my experience with these kinds of discussions to have somebody there who is not participating in the issue,
right.
who's there to sit there and say, no, in fact, you can't specify that you're going to have people mandated to do this thing, because that's actually against state law.
Sure.
You know, so you need some sort of reference. Also, it makes me wonder, when you're having people craft policy and you're having people craft legislation, how much education can you actually pack into making them understand how that stuff has to be put together before they glaze entirely?
Yeah, and then let's be clear too. I mean, one of the things we said early on was, like, what are your top 10 priorities of government? We were describing this to Mary earlier. I mean, at the end of the day, if we just come away with 10 bullet points that then legislators know as their, here are the objectives that the public wants to achieve, and we had that up with, the, I mean,
we applied that methodology, which is go define the problem. I mean, most folks don't even know how to define the problem, and they jump to solution, right? And then what are your goals? I mean, if at the end of the day, I agree, people are absolutely going to glaze over when it comes to true legislation, but what better thing to do to define clearly what people want in terms of requirements? And I see this in terms of software all the time. If you can't define the requirements, I can't go develop the implementation. And there can be multiple implementation solutions, right? But if you can go get those requirements nailed down, that's the key, right? And if at the end of the day, people are just simply using this for their top 10 priorities of government, or their, here's what I want to see in terms of drug reform legislation, without getting into the issue of what that actual final legislation may look like, that's absolutely, I would put forth that's absolutely fine. There's also a great opportunity to say, here's what people want. You know, there's the page. Don't edit that anymore, and let's go into the legislation.
Let me just say this really quickly. I don't think the success of More Perfect turns on whether or not Chad and I do all this stuff. I mean, really, the project is meant to open up all, you know, all this input. And, you know, after this meeting, we would invite you all to come into the site, you know, and help us draft new policy. You know, help us come, you know, start a page that says, you know, maybe More Perfect needs an ethic like this or something, or, you know, because really that's what this new technology allows. It's not just whether or not Chad and I can come up with the best idea of how to run it, you know. We're here specifically to invite you all in to help us build this tool to make it better.
Yeah, I mean, one thing the technology does is allows us to scale, but not personally scale, just for you all to scale, right? I mean, that's the key here. I think Ethan's been waiting a while.
So it may just be what I'm reading out of your presentation of the project, but if I were sort of giving my one-sentence summary of it, it would be to say, you know, let's draft legislation via Wiki. And the more I hear about this, the more I think that that's the wrong lead for you guys. And I've now heard you tell the medical marijuana story three times, and it's a really good story, and it's a compelling story, but what I get out of it is a story about how people should structure ballot initiatives. It isn't necessarily a story about authoring ballot initiatives on wikis. And when you sort of bring wikis into this, immediately I start going into all of why this can't work based on having watched wikis, you know, literally since Ward invented them, and I sort of looked at them and said, you're crazy.
Right.
And I wonder in some ways how this project would differ if instead you said, we have a radically new way to get people thinking about how you build ballot initiatives. There probably should be more ballot initiatives. They should be better. They should be put together far more carefully. People should learn about how to do them well. And ideally, people should do them out in public where they can work with the people who might be opposed to them.
Right.
That, to me, has a different spin from what you guys are doing. But I also think it would be quite a bit more focused, and I think it would probably have a higher chance of success. I think in some ways, by sort of embracing the wiki stuff and putting that out front and forward, you invite people like me, who are basically professional online assholes, to sort of look at this and say, look at what they've done with the Second Amendment. You know, no one's edited it since July, and, you know, they've done complete crap with it. Whereas, I think if you go in that fashion, first of all, you get rid of some of the obvious criticism.
Sure.
You give a much clearer path to success. And some of the other things that you guys are really good at and have an enormous amount of experience at, you could sort of build into it. So I realize you're not going to change the whole direction of what you're doing based on my offhand comment during a lunch. But I guess I'm trying to make, to the extent that I've thought about your project for all of 15 minutes, an argument that maybe that's actually more compelling than sort of running with the technology and the open source model and sort of pushing that.
So, and I want to be clear about what you're saying. So, and I, what you're saying is focus on a radically, I heard you say, radically new way to build better ballot initiatives. And I think, are you saying go focus on that silo? Is that what you're suggesting?
Focus on that silo. Focus on the purpose, not on the technology. Right, I mean, you've said once or twice the technology isn't what matters, and I'm with you. The technology is almost never what matters. But when you do things like, say, you know, go edit the Bill of Rights or go edit the Constitution, you're basically saying, ooh, look, isn't this cool? Everyone play with a wiki. And no, actually, that isn't that cool. Like, I mean, that was cool a couple of years ago. And what's cool now is this idea that you guys are putting forward, which is that you could build an initiative out in public, and you could invite the people who are opposed to it, as well as the people who support it, to participate in it, and you could get towards consensus. So when this thing shows up on the ballot, you've actually got widespread support for it. Now, that's cool, as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, but you got to understand, as we do, I mean, again, this isn't, I'll reiterate, it's not what we, you know, I think there's room for multiple silos of what this could turn into. I mean, we don't think the center of this is editing the Constitution, but where it's, where you've been thinking about wikis since Ward developed them, right? I mean, for a lot of people, they've never visited Wikipedia. And, you know, as we work with groups and organizations, again, all we're trying to do there is find some things that at least let them get their mind around what wiki means and how they could interact. I mean, I agree, the Constitution is...
We threw that up for...
But I, you know, I agree with you, but I don't, I mean, and maybe what it is we find, we're, at this point, I feel like we're in a, we have to educate the public that there's a new tool out there that allows them to do new things.
And I guess what I'm saying is, to a certain extent,
like, where your project goes has to do with that one sentence description of your project.
I agree.
And it has a lot to do with, I mean, because that's what people take away from a presentation like this. This is what people get out of the elevator conversations. If that one sentence is, there's a new tool that changes how you build legislation, there's a whole set of problems associated with that. And I think some of them are actually pretty tough and pretty intractable. I mean, I think the edit war problem actually ends up being quite intractable, and I think, you know, thousands of people have put an enormous amount of time into it, and I'm not convinced that the tweaks that you guys are making are going to fix it. I'm wondering, in some ways, if you shift that one sentence, and maybe the one sentence is, you know, change how you do ballot initiatives, but maybe the one sentence is, you know, open the legislative process to everyone, including the people you disagree with, and you get better legislation out of it. It may not actually change all that radically what you're doing, but it changes the pitch. Right. And it probably does change decisions on things like whether you put the Constitution up there. At that point, no, you probably don't, because that's really more a tech demo than it is a process demo. What you really want to be doing instead is, I think, emphasizing this process of how you build legislative change, whether it's a ballot initiative, whether it's something else, that's radically inclusive.
We haven't done it yet, but I actually have talked about, we want to put our pitch online.
Mm-hmm.
You know, help us define what More Perfect is. Help us, you know, and make that a wikiable you know, and again, I don't know that we would make the ultimate decision by what comes out of that, but it captures feedback in a way that is interesting.
Sure. I think you make an excellent point. I mean, there's no question.
I was going to say also, thinking back on some of what Amanda brought in and thinking about Ethan's idea to focus on silos, one place that this could be useful is if in groups like local political organizations that are trying to make internal decisions, where I don't know if you necessarily want to do this way or not, but where you could say this is a space where, for example, only members of the City of Somerville Democratic Committee should edit, and here's the City of Somerville Republican Committee, and here's the City of Somerville Green Committee, and work on your own what you'd like to bring to the table, and then you can put something up a notch if you're working on something on the local level. And what I think, what I find most exciting about this is where it could go on the hyper-local level, places that can't really access a lot of these tools at a higher level, where a lot of things that are, some of the other projects that are out there that have similar types of things are at state or national, and like, bring it back down. And so like, here's, you know, sorry, like, I live in the City of Somerville, I'm on the City Democratic Committee. I'd love for us to be able, we'd have a whole bunch of intractable debates between each other. We're getting it out there, so it's not a matter of, like, what gets on the agenda, whose politics are about what gets on the agenda at the meeting. That actually would be really relevant. And, like, so that one silo, another silo for you to think about fitting as a niche, is the needs of groups that are involved in politics locally that don't necessarily have even the resources for their own homepage to put this kind of stuff up, who don't have tech people who can put up a bulletin board system for themselves, and who could say, oh, look, here's this thing. We could have our page here. We could put the stuff there and work with it there, as long as we know that it's ours. You know, it's public, but this is our zone, and then there's the step-up zone where we share with the people who are not from our group directly and who disagree with us.
Right.
Yep.
I remember sharing with that one. Ethan said, is that if I think what I sensed in what your presentation was that it was perhaps a naive belief that people are just going to come to this site to discuss things. And And if a political party wants to draft, say, a party program on a wiki basis, they have the tools, they have the resources to do it on their own website. They don't have an interest in doing it in an open space where there's going to be controversy, you know what I mean?
Right.
So this is what I see your project really as a tool for organizations or individuals who don't have those resources to do ballot initiatives or to... So I would exactly focus on that silo, and because that's really the added value. It's for people who care about some issues that are not on the agenda or who don't know how to approach things, don't know how to define the problem, as you said. You could really sell this as a place to go when you just have this idea, but you can't. But if you open it up to politics in general, campaigns, try to get on groups and to debate, I think that's not going to be the place for it. I really think this.
Well, again, let me go back. I mean, for example, to Erica's example, we're in conversation with. I mean, I actually have been.
That's
I'm
our
a PCO.
Model, actually, in terms of actually sustaining the revenue side. That's the actual business model in terms of sustaining the revenue side. I mean,
I'm a PCO in my legislative district, right? And I participate in creating party platform for our 37th legislative district. It's the most tedious process. I mean, it's right. 50 people in line waiting for a microphone saying, oh, you forgot to put the and after the in paragraph 13. On, you know, and I sit through this process going, there's better ways to do this. So, I mean, that's one. We're talking to the Washington State Democratic Party, for example, right now. Mm-hmm. And I guess I would, again, we're certainly taking the notes on the feedback, and we invite you to keep giving to us. I sort of disagree, though, that there's not value to doing this in a more open, centralized place. Again, the 37th Legislative District gets about 50 people out to its meetings in a district that probably has a population of 50,000 people, mm-hmm. right? And the problem is people don't know where to go or aren't really necessarily part of that but would like to participate in drafting the 37th Legislative District's platform. And so this gives having a centralized place that can then jump off to these individual silos that we can create for these individual things, I think does have a certain value. Do the problems you raise exist? Absolutely. You know, and I hope we solve them.
So, yeah, I mean, the notion of an internet extranet is definitely, I mean.
Right. And one other thing, just based on what you just said, though, it seems that working at the more... local level might be a good start, and it's actually a bit confusing. Or when you log onto a website, you know, there's the Bill of Rights there, so you think it's more national politics. Then there's issues for, you know, priorities for this state and this state. So is it state politics? Is it federal politics? And I understand that you're aiming for all of this at the same time. But
well, we actually are using Washington State as a model to build out. We're focusing, like for example, this bus tour idea. We've actually drafted out we actually are trying to do everything in Washington State first to create a model that can then be replicated, probably not by us. So, for example, we'd like there to be what we call now is a page manager or a state manager on each state who's not us, who can direct. I mean, I absolutely see this smaller. I think having the U.S. Congress do this would be really difficult right now.
Right.
And again, because we're small, it's necessitated, but... Washington State and Seattle City politics are sort of the model that we're building from.
But I heard you say our homepage talks nationally, or there's some confusion about nationally versus locally, or even state versus locally.
Right, or they could be just made it made more clear that, you know, here's a page for local politics, here's a page for...
Yeah. And we've actually considered Washington.moreperfect.org.
Right,
That's a national too.
Your stories are really helpful. The first story that you told about the... medical marijuana initiative, and the one you've just said about waiting in line, 50 people, you know, and then the other example of how legislation gets done, those are really helpful, and I think they would be helpful on the website in understanding the potential of the work.
That's a good suggestion.
Yep. Three bullet points and an open-ended question. Okay. First, I disagree about limiting the silos at this point because I think it's way too early to do this. I do agree that talking about this primarily as a wiki-based thing is probably, you know, works in some settings and not in others. Works in a setting like this where we all know about it, but I don't think you're making the "we're a wiki" mistake. I think it's way too early to limit it to one because we don't know where it's going to catch on. Although public initiatives are a great use of it. Second point is, Ethan and I both, actually before this meeting, had been at the Constitution page and both reacted negatively to it. I think it's a bad example of what you do, and you want to shit can it.
Okay.
Either that or allow forking at the level of individual items of the Bill of Rights. It gives people the wrong idea of what you're up to because you can't get to the constructive only.
Right.
In terms of marketing, it's really neat. But it's taking us down the wrong road.
And just to be clear, you said shit can't, in its current form in terms of it just needs to be broken up?
Or shit can it, make it into a better example so that we can fork. You cannot get people to be constructive about gun control if they disagree about whether there should be gun control. So they need to be able to fork it.
Right.
And that would be a better example if it works. Maybe the third bullet point is when one of these bills that gets talked about gets put into a final form, I hope you're going to link to the final form so people can see what effect they've had, maybe none, on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the open-ended question is surfaced in various ways, but the Wikipedia we know has succeeded because of this dedicated band of crazed Wikipedians, God bless them, who manage the site and who have evolved this highly complex and detailed idea of what NPOV means, for example, what the rules are. And that's beginning to surface. Some of the Wikipedia rules surface already on your site. I'm reverting this because you didn't explain why you made the change. It's absolutely Wikipedia policy.
Right.
It's not a natural thing. It's a useful thing at Wikipedia. So the open-ended question is, are you going to need the same sort of community?
I think so.
What policy can you learn from it? Can you absorb some policy from it, make it explicit, allow people to comment?
I mean, we have the advantage that Wikipedia is there, and we can learn from how they grew, but they didn't start that way 6 months. I mean, there's that argument, right?
It's fundamentally different.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it has to grow organically, and really that's what we want the site to do. I mean, we're trying to get it out there in a way that, you know, we end up talking mostly to technology people right now because that's who is interested. So when I say wiki and I approach it in wiki format, I'm speaking to a certain audience here that understand. You know, that's shorthand. But in a parallel way, you know, not an exact way, but in a similar way that Wikipedia has developed those policies, you know, I think we're in a multi-year process here to develop a certain user community. Will it be completely inclusive of everyone this year? Probably not. You know, the tools necessarily, it's a place to start, right? My hope is that it grows. You know, I think our expectations of, you know, our expectations of perfecting things have really shrunk, right? You know, we're like, we want this to be what it is in 3 months, you know, but there's just no way that can happen in this space. And again, I do believe that I grant all the challenges that we face in doing political work on a wiki format. And I would love to debate this for 25 hours with all of you, but I fundamentally think what we're doing is democracy at its very heart. And so when people tell me it can't work, you know, I tend to be really optimistic about the space and call it naive optimism or whatever. But, I work in politics, and I hear all the time people say, it's just too hard. I disagree that politics is too hard to get in. There's barriers to entry, absolutely. But I'm really optimistic about democracy, the ability to participate. Do we need to improve the tools? We chose the name More Perfect Union for a reason. I mean, that name suggests that it's incremental. It's bit by bit by bit. We're all, you know, we're a community trying to participate in something, and we now have an opportunity. The internet has presented an opportunity. Is Wiki the best tool to do it? I don't know. But it's certainly moving in the direction that the internet is meant, in my heart, to improve, you know, our democratic interactions in the communities we build. So I see what we're doing as inevitable, whether it's us or whether it's Wiki. I think the internet is moving us in that direction of more participatory community building. So
I'm curious about the economic models. How are you going to? How do you plan to survive?
So that's a highly proprietary. The notion is certainly exactly working with the organizations that we've talked about. The notion of internet, extranet, working with those. If you've got a group, you get $99, $149, whatever. Pick a price point, right?
Well, we don't even
that's the notion.
We don't even know for sure.
Right.
I mean, right now we're not. it's not the fundamental drive for why we're doing this project. I mean, certainly we have to make it a sustainable project. Right now we're going for grants. We'd like to get some grants that at least help us focus on it full time and start working, you know, full time on this problem. And then we have these ideas of, you know, different ways to do it, but
yeah.
I would say we haven't finalized that answer.
That's certainly the direction.
I mean, we were having this discussion at lunch yesterday at the Sunlight thing. I sort of wish Wikipedia hadn't formed as solely a nonprofit organ. You know, like I wish they would have just put Google Ads on their site personally. You know, so that they didn't have to go through this big fundraising drive every year, and it's a question of whether or not they make it. You know, I tend to like to see even nonprofit groups come up with a way to be sustainable,
yeah.
Independent of relying on whether or not some committee says yes or no to their funding this year. You know, however, but so we don't know. You know, and
I mean,
even in the nonprofit
the
space,
day, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of interesting. You know, Google started their nonprofit effort this year, but chose to organize as a for-profit entity because it allows them, for example, to give grants to for-profit companies who are working on new engine technologies for cars that if they were a nonprofit, there was problems for them to be able to do that. So, I don't know.
You know about the Wiki hosting service, the free Wiki hosting
service?
Oh, yeah, Wiki is.
No.
You mean open serving? Or?
Open serving, yeah.
Yeah, which is Wiki is, I mean, that's what they're going to
yes,
be doing.
Yes, it is. Right.
And they're saying that's ad-driven, which, again, I mean, if you scale horizontally along that way, that's perfect.
And we have Google Ads on our page now. I think we've made $1.35. But, you know, again, it's just we put it up there and it's just a start. But, you know, maybe more perfect turns in. Maybe Chad and I don't become the center of it. Maybe it just becomes a completely open source project. You know, we're talking, we for example, don't have a board together right now, but we're in talks with certain people about joining the board. So again, whatever, you know, maybe we come away from this meeting today and we should put a page up there just to keep this dialogue going and help us start developing, you know, some of these policies that have been thrown about, you know, and I would welcome all of your input.
This is actually just a follow-up to my previous question, which is, I think you should think about, probably already are, exposing a page on the norms and policies, including maybe under the rubric of what it means to be constructive. Because man, that's as hard a question as what does it mean to be NPOV.
Like I don't know if you saw on one of our pages, we have this little bug called Hot Topic Cool Heads, you know, and we're trying to come up with these little things that people can, you know, start thinking about as they're involved in. But you know, and let me back up one step too. When I started working on Wikipedia, the first thing I did was I went to what I knew was a really controversial page and that I felt really strongly about because I wanted to see how it worked, and something happened. It's a religious question that I debate with a lot of people online. It gets really heated a lot. But something happened on this Wikipedia article that caused natural opponents to have to moderate themselves. And I think Wikipedia, there's a certain thing that happens when you have to build credibility and you're trying to build something that sticks. It's different than just arguing about it in a forum. And I actually think there's a sort of intangible here that can happen in the Wiki space, that people, you know, Chad and I built, we built this whole business model, you know, the whole thing,
we
wikied it, you know, and it was really hard. You know, you spend three hours writing this paragraph on how you think this should work, and Chad comes in and erases it all, you know, but after the initial shock of it, you start finding ways that you know, I know he's not going to accept this sentence this way, and so I start to think about my audience, you know, and it becomes collaborative in this organic way that is sort of intangible.
But what's great about that is that you guys respect each other and care enough about each other to be willing to work within that space. And wikis work really, really well when you've opened them up to a group of people who you care about working with in that sense. It is much, much less clear to me that wikis work real well in that much larger space.
But again, I go back to my experience with Wikipedia on really controversial articles with people I fundamentally disagree with, knowing that I can't, you know, if I just delete that comment or I change it without a good explanation of why, my credibility goes through the floor in my edits, you know. But if I give a little bit with him and he gives a little bit with me, then we find ourselves in this amazing place that doesn't happen on my forums where I'm arguing about it, but happens on that Wikipedia article. So again, I think the process of collaborating in this way causes people to think differently about their interaction than it does when we're just having an argument. Yeah. So, I mean, but certainly it's...
There are going to be flame wars. I don't think there's any question, but the point is that we think that that certainly can be the exception, not the rule, and that the dynamic there is that people are invested, they have reputations, and whether it's implicit or explicit, or, reputation, or just merely the fact, the economics of, if you don't provide great ideas, they're going to be just erased. Right? I mean, that's the notion.
So.
Do you guys have any closing thoughts? Anybody who has any additional questions was welcome to stick around and chat with them, but we should let those who have appointments.
Okay.
We really appreciate everyone's feedback. That's wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, and again, it's odd to be up here as though we're trying to answer this when what we're saying is come in and help us figure out how to do this. So
better.
Good.
Thank you.
Cheers. Thank you.